The Arctic Council is bringing attention to the issue of mercury contamination in subsistence foods. A new assessment from the Council's monitoring program finds high levels of the metal in marine mammals. But the report shows mercury levels in Alaska tend to be much lower than other parts of the Arctic. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
Much of the mercury in the Arctic arrives in the atmosphere from coal-burning power plants in Asia, and under certain conditions it undergoes a transformation that makes it much more harmful. It's a complicated process, but Thomas Douglas, who worked on the Arctic Council report, sums it up.
The simple thing is you take sea ice, you take gaseous mercury, you take some sunlight, and you can basically deposit this mercury to, you know, the terrestrial surface and the sea ice surface.
Douglas is a research chemist with the Army Corps of Engineers in Fairbanks. He says the process is unique to the polar regions.
This doesn't happen in Florida. It doesn't happen in Texas. It doesn't happen in Vermont kind of thing. You really need sea ice and cold temperatures.
That's one reason animals in the Arctic tend to have high levels of mercury. Polar bears have some of the highest levels because they eat high on the food chain. Bowhead whales are at the other end of the spectrum. Cheryl Rosa is deputy director of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission and a bowhead biologist.
They would be essentially the cows of the ocean. If they were on land, they'd be eating grass. They're feeding on the very small animals in the ocean, the krill, euphausids, copepods, amphipods, really small animals that aren't high in the food chain because mercury tends to biomagnify as you go up the food chain.
The mercury levels in walrus and seals fall somewhere in the middle. Lori Quakenbush is a biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The department has collected about 10 years of contaminant data on four species of seals harvested in Alaska.
The one thing that we can say is that seals in Alaska have lower levels of all of these compounds than seals in other places in the Arctic, like Canada and Europe. So we know our levels are lower than levels in other places.
No one knows exactly why the levels are lower in Alaska, but several studies have documented it. Quakenbush says the seals also appear to be detoxifying some of the mercury, a process she and other scientists are studying.
Marine mammals are very good at combining the toxic form of mercury, the methylmercury, with another element called selenium. And even though it may be that the total amount of mercury in the seal tissue that we test looks a little bit high, the fact that they're detoxifying it with this other element is what we're studying, how much of it is actually not available for either people or bears that eat the seals.
The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium studies mercury levels in pregnant women in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Dr. James Berner is a science director at the consortium. He says the women have much higher mercury levels than the U.S. population as a whole, but the levels are still at or below FDA guidelines. Dr. Berner says the Arctic Council report should help marine mammal hunters in Alaska feel better about what they eat.
There was a lot of misinformation and fear on the part of the consuming public in the Arctic, and that's now been replaced by a lot more knowledge.
Vera Metcalf is executive director of the Alaska Eskimo Walrus Commission. She says mercury contamination is on the minds of Alaskans who eat marine mammals, but it doesn't stop them from enjoying the food.
I think they're concerned. We try not to alarm everyone because that's our main diet right now. It's very expensive to buy any kind of processed food from a local store. So many of us rely on these resources, which we hope will remain healthy and for our future generations.
Metcalf says monitoring contaminant levels in subsistence foods is important, and she makes the case for reinstating federal funds for the Alaska Marine Mammal Tissue Archival Project. That allows long-term banking of samples from subsistence mammals. Cheryl Rosa with the Arctic Research Commission is also hoping funding for the program will be restored.
Since 2006, there have been next to no tissues that have been collected in this manner as a long-term archive in the state of Alaska, which is just an absolute travesty. It's a shame that this isn't happening.
Rosa says the tissue bank is important because it will aid future studies on contaminants.
What's the next new toxin that's going to pop up? You know, it's just being able to go back and to look for these things is so important. you know, there's things around now that we didn't look for 10 or 15 years ago.
Rosa points out it would only cost $100,000 a year to fund the program, and she says that's a small amount for something so important. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.